Would you turn to the 23rd Psalm? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that by your grace, you would be our shepherd. And we ask in Christ's name that we might hear the shepherd's voice this morning in the preaching of your gospel. Lord, we thank you that you are our shepherd. And we thank you for all the glorious benefits we have as you being our shepherd. Bless us with thy presence. Be with all your people wherever they meet together. Forgive us of our sins for the Lord's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, I have just read what I would say is probably the most well-known passage of Scripture in the Bible. The one that might equal it would be "Judge not." People love that verse of Scripture. Well, I don't believe what you're saying is true. Judge not. Everybody knows that one. But other than that, I would say the 23rd Psalm is the most well-known passage of Scripture in all of the Word of God. Now, there was once a man who listened to a famous British stage actor read Psalm 23, and he was amazed at the majesty and the eloquence of the language, the way the man read the 23rd Psalm. He was so impressed. The beauty of the language of this psalm, and it is beautiful, isn't it? Sometime later, he heard an old man read the psalm, and he was moved to tears. Not by the British stage actor's rendition of the psalm, but this little old man. And he told somebody about it. He said, my reaction was so different. And the person he was speaking to replied like this: well, the stage actor knew the psalm. I believe, apparently, the old man knew the shepherd. That's the difference. Now, is the Lord my shepherd? That's a good question. Because not everybody can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Not everybody can say that. When Judas Iscariot was dying, could he say, the Lord is my shepherd? No. He could not say, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, I need to say this. If Judas Iscariot would have asked for mercy, he would have been given it. I don't have any question about that. There's never been anybody who asked for mercy that the Lord turned away. But Judas Iscariot could never say, the Lord is my shepherd. And no unbeliever, I don't care who they are, no unbeliever can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, can I say, the Lord is my shepherd? Now, the only prerequisite that I can think of for someone to say, the Lord is my shepherd, is they have to be a sheep. That's simple enough, isn't it? They have to be a sheep. Now, there are only two kinds of people in this world: sheep and goats. A sheep will never be a goat. And a goat will never be a sheep. Turn with me for a moment to hold your finger there in Psalm 23 and turn with me for a moment to Matthew 25. The scripture lays this out so clearly, what I've just said. There are only two kinds of people: sheep and goats. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, speaking of His second return, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered, what? All nations. Everybody in the universe that's ever lived is going to be at this great gathering. Before Him will be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Now we see from that passage of Scripture, there are only two kinds of people: sheep and goats. He is the shepherd of the sheep. That's simple. He is the shepherd of the sheep. Who did Christ die for? I lay down my life for who? The sheep. The sheep. Now, I think it's interesting. The sheep are the elect. The goats are everybody else. It is that simple. Let me repeat that. The sheep are the elect. The goats are everybody else. And I think it's so interesting that the Holy Spirit selects the sheep as the animal that describes a believer. A sheep. Sheep are dirty animals. They're not clean. They contract so much filth, and they are dirty animals. Sheep are amazingly stupid. Sheep so easily go astray. Sheep have no sense of direction. When they go astray, they cannot get back. The shepherd must bring them back. Sheep are defenseless. They don't have claws. They don't have fangs to protect themselves. Sheep are defenseless. You know, I've read that when the wool gets so long and they're so dirty, when they fall over, they're like a bug or a turtle. They can't get back up. They're laying there on their back and they cannot get back up. They can't care for themselves. But here's one thing about sheep that you can't say about any other animal. They know the voice of the shepherd. And a stranger they will not follow. Now, sheep, you can see how that represents you, what I just described of a sheep. Every sheep can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Every sheep, without exception, can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, one of the things that I think is so beautiful about the 23rd Psalm, many things are beautiful about the 23rd Psalm, but there are 8 Jehovahs in the Scripture. You've heard of them, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah, all these different names of the Lord. And all of them are implied in this psalm, every one of his names. For instance, Jehovah Rapha means the Lord is my shepherd. The name is right there. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. He leads me beside the still waters, the waters of quietness. Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Well, he restores my soul. That's the Lord healing me. He restores my soul. And that word restore is the word that's generally translated turn. He turns my soul. I go astray like a lost sheep, and he turns me to himself. Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord shall provide. Well, isn't that what David meant when he said, "I shall not want"? If the Lord's my provider, I shall not want. Thou preparest a table for me in the very presence of mine enemies. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. What did David say? Thou art with me. I have a difficult time pronouncing this one, but Jehovah Maked Dishkim, that means I am the Lord that sanctifieth thee. Well, didn't David said, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever"? That is sanctification. My cup runneth over. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. Thy rod, that's a scepter, that's a sovereignty, and thy staff, that which we lean on. That's the person and work of Christ. They comfort me. What comfort is administered by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? So we can see God's character is resplendent in this glorious psalm. Now let's read it together. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." You know, there are those who have said that the Lord quoted this from the cross too. Because of Psalm 22, we have Psalm 23. And because of Psalm 23, we have Psalm 24, the great ascension psalm. Now, whether that is the case, I don't know, but I sure wouldn't doubt it. But this is David speaking. Yes, it's the Lord speaking, but this is David speaking. And he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. And because my shepherd is the Lord, I shall not want." I know something about feeling lacking. There's always something lacking about me. I'm inadequate, my faith and my love, in my humility, in my zeal. Just name it, inadequate is the word, lacking. But what does David say? I shall not lack anything if my shepherd is the Lord. Whether I feel lacking or not, I'm not lacking. Because the scripture says, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead body, and you are what? Complete. Plumb full. Nothing lacking. Because my shepherd is the Lord, I shall not want. Now, I love the language of verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, I'm not going to want irresistible grace. He makes me. And that's the kind of grace I need. I need grace where he makes me lie down. Because I won't do it unless he makes me. I know myself. I won't do it unless he makes me. Somebody says, I don't like the term irresistible grace. I do. I like it a lot. That's the only kind of grace that will save me, is irresistible, invincible grace. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I'm not going to lack rest. He makes me to lie down in the green pastures of his word. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And that word is waters of quietness, peace. Now, because my shepherd is the Lord, I'm not going to lack peace. You see, having been justified. Now, remember what justification is? I hope you never, and I hope I never lose the amazement of this. I stand before God without sin. That's what justification means. No sin. Not merely sin forgiven, but no sin. No sin. You know, that's the only thing. If the sin question is completely taken care of, and I stand before God having never sinned, and that's what justification is. Peace. That's the only thing that gives me peace. I've never sinned. Verse 3, he restores my soul. I will not lack restoration. He restores my soul. Now, this is the shepherd going after the lost sheep and turning it. That word, he turns my soul. Same word, he turns my soul. Now, what did David say at the end of Psalm 119? Do you know what the last verse is? Longest psalm in the Bible, the last verse. David says this about himself. He says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy word. Now that is David's assessment of that glorious psalm. That's the way he ends it. And every believer knows something about this. Lord, I've gone astray. It's all my fault. I'm a dumb, stupid, senseless, straying, dirty, defenseless sheep. And I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. He always does. He restoreth my soul. I'm not going to lack restoration. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I'm not going to lack righteousness. And I've got a reason that I'm not going to lack righteousness. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, his righteousness, not because I deserve it, but for his name's sake. There, what peace there is in that. Everything God does, he does for the sake of his son. Everything he does for me, he does for the sake of his son. Ephesians 4:32 says, be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Why does God forgive you? For Christ's sake. What if you had to find some other reason? He forgave you because of how sorry you were, or how you promised you'd never do it again. Or you put anything else, there's no peace there. But he does it for Christ's sake. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now that started for me September 9th, 1959. And ever since then, I've been walking through this valley of the shadow of death. You have too. But even though I do walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You see, I'm not going to lack his presence. Thou art with me. You know who's with me right now? The Lord. You know, there are times that I'm aware of that, and most of the time I'm not aware of it. Most of the time. But at all times, thou art with me. He promised, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Thou art with me. That's why I fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff. Now, the word rod is scepter. Scepter. This speaks of his sovereignty. You only God is sovereign. You know, when we talk about sovereign nations, only God is sovereign. And this is who he is. He's God. He's God. He's sovereign. Jesus Christ is God. He's sovereign. His rod, the scepter of his authority. And the staff is what we lean on. This represents the person and work of Christ. I'm leaning on who he is and what he did. And listen, they comfort me. Now, understand this about the gospel. Yeah, I've heard people, after they've heard a sermon, they've preacher, I've had people say this to me. You really stepped on my toes. Really stepped on my toes. There's no gospel in that kind of thinking. It's the gospel comforts. Somebody says, well, my toes have been stepped on. Well, you didn't hear the gospel then. If you hear the gospel, you're comforted by the gospel. That all God requires of you, he looks to his son for. You're comforted by that. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Comfort ye, my people. The gospel always comforts. And you know, I've said this before. The only kind of preaching that I like is preaching that lets me know I'm saved. If I hear preaching that makes me think, well, maybe I'm not. You know what? I didn't hear the gospel. Somebody's telling me about what I needed to do to measure up. And maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I'm not saved. That kind of preaching it's not gospel preaching. The gospel, listen to me, the gospel always comforts. Now that doesn't mean the Lord doesn't chasten his people. I realize that. He does. But the gospel always comforts. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Verse 5. Thou, this is Jehovah Jireh, thou preparest a table before me in the very presence of my enemies. Now, who are my enemies? Now, there are people, you know what I'm saying, because you're the same way. There are people that annoy me. There are people that trouble me. There's no doubt about that, but those people aren't my deadly enemies. Who are my enemies? Who are my deadly enemies? My sins. Those are my enemies. You know, I don't know how to express this, but when you're a believer, you have two natures. And you have that old nature, and everything about that old nature is your deadly enemy. You see that. And the only way you can understand that is if you're a believer. An unbeliever has no concept of this, because really an unbeliever doesn't have any concept of sin. Oh, they know this is wrong and that's wrong. But as far as understanding something of the deadly enemy of sin, I have no understanding of it. But a believer does. And David says, you prepare a table for me. Oh, the table of grace. The table of justification. The table of complete acceptance. The table of being chosen in Christ. The streams of mercy never ceasing. In the very presence of my enemies, you prepare that table. You know, I love the scripture in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. John says, these things write unto you, listen, that you sin not. Is sin ever okay? Well, since you're saved, it's okay. Since salvation's by grace, don't worry. No, these things have I written unto you that you sin not. When you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, I'm writing these things to you that you sin not, but when you do, it's not like there's any question about whether that's going to take place. When you do, we have this advocate with the Father. And I love to think of the advocacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how many times have you repeated the same sin? Over and over and over again. Now, with the advocacy of the Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't say, well, forgive him again. Forgive him again. No, he just sits before the Father, stand, and I'm accepted and perfect in Christ Jesus. What a table. Thou preparest the table, of his grace. What provision? In the very presence of my enemies. That's why David said, my cup runs over. It runs over. It's always full. So full, it's always running over. Because that's the way his grace is. That's the table of his provision. My cup runneth over. Verse 6. Surely. Surely. I like that word, don't you? Surely. This is for sure. This is no doubt. Surely. Under every circumstance, surely. Because his grace is sure. David said, although my house be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure. Surely. Goodness and mercy. Now these are God's two sheepdogs. They're going to follow me. I love God's two sheepdogs. Surely, goodness, God's goodness. Now, God's always good. He's always good. And this is his capacity to save somebody like me. Why does God save somebody like me? Because he's good. He's good. Does that mean he's under some kind of constraint to save me? No, it doesn't. But God's character, he delights in mercy. He delights in mercy. Don't miss that. He delights in mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Never a day when his goodness and his mercy is not pursuing me. These sheepdogs keep me in the fold. His goodness and his mercy. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'm never going to be homeless. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love what David said in Psalm 27. One thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, eternally, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Isn't the Lord beautiful? All of his glorious attributes, he's beautiful. that I may behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire into his temple. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.